I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hello and welcome back to the WTF1 podcast with your usual host, myself, Hayden Gullis, and James Cokin. We've got a very, very exciting episode for you today. And one thing that I'm very excited that we are going to be talking about, and is in fact that James here is going to be going to their first ever F1 Grand Prix weekend. I'm very excited for you because, you know, my first one was back in 2017, a long time ago now. Actually, no, 2015 was the first one I went to, went with my dad. So nearly 10 years ago. And I'm excited to sort of relive that now through your excitement going towards Las Vegas. So talk to me about it. What are your feelings so far going into it?
I'm so incredibly excited. I did not think I was going to get to make it out to a Formula One Grand Prix this year. Luckily, the Las Vegas Grand Prix reached out to me and offered me tickets. I'm not sure exactly where they are yet. So, I'm just really excited to go. And I know this is not a conventional Formula One race that happens on a permanent circuit. It is a street track. It is a night race. So the vibe and the logistics are probably very, very different from a typical Formula One experience. But I would just love to spend this episode talking to you about like what your first experience is like. And then further down the conversation, we could talk about what I need to expect and how I should prepare.
Okay. So what do you want to know? I mean, first of all, what to expect is lots of walking. Always lots of walking.
Well, let's go from the start. Let's talk about your first experience going to a Formula One Grand Prix.
Okay, so my first one was 2015. I'd been, you know, a Formula One fan, interested in Formula One all throughout my life, getting really into it though in 2009 when it came to the BBC, and it was always been like free to air when I've watched Formula One, but with the BBC there was no ads during it. ITV always used to have ads, and it was always really annoying. But in the middle of the race, yeah, there was ads in the middle of the race.
Oh, that's very IndyCar coded.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so annoying. And then it went to BBC and it had no ads and it was amazing. And I remember I'd also always been a fan of playing the games. But that was on and off if we by chance bought it. 2009, got the game on the Wii, and then from there I was kind of like hooked. You know, I watched every single race, I played every single game. And I went from football, moved over to Formula One. And then finally in 2015, my dad, for a birthday present, got me a package that we went with him on a coach down to Spa-Francorchamps to go to the Belgian Grand Prix, back and forth between a hotel and the circuit.
So like your first race was Spa, not Silverstone.
It was Spa. And I'm so glad it was because I put Spa on a bigger pedestal of going to a race to view than I do at Silverstone, which I know a lot of Brits are going to be like, how dare you? But if you've been to Spa, it is breathtakingly beautiful. It is one of the most beautiful circuits that you can go to because you're in the middle of the forest and it's just a joy to be there. So I had a package that we went, that was taken care of, like a big bundle deal. So Obviously, tickets included grandstand. I went at Rivage, but I have also done general admission in later years at Spa. Spa, I've actually been three times because I love it so much. But yeah, that was my first experience, 2015. It was a decent race. There was a puncture right at the end, I believe, for Sebastian Vettel. Roman Grosjean got on the podium in a Lotus in that 2015 season. Yeah.
That's impressive.
And I guess one of the biggest things that I realized when going is the gaps between cars. I think it was McLaren were like terrible that season. I think I remember them being so far off the pace. But like you watch the leaders go through and then you get like that big gap when the McLarens finally come through. So that's like one of the first things you kind of like notice. Sound wise, I unfortunately never got to hear the V8s. Only ever gone to see a Grand Prix live when it's been the V6s. Yeah.
Yeah.
And power units. So the noise is bearable. Like it's easily bearable. You don't have to worry about having earplugs or it being too loud unless they've got like showcase events on that weekend, I suppose.
So your boy Jenson Button was competing that season.
Yeah, it was at the back.
yeah.
Sadly.
Who was he with
McLaren. With?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
That was during their dry spell.
Yeah, yeah. When they were not having a good time, no sponsors on the car, and were just loving it at the back of the grid.
So you pulled up the spot, like who did you really want to see? Like and who were you rooting for?
I suppose it would have been Lewis then, 2015. I've always been a patriotic Brit. I mean, as I say, I've always been into Formula One, but I suppose we had a sort of boom in the UK in a similar way, but not on the same pedestal as when Max came into Formula One. And then, of course, the race that he raced with Red Bull. My girlfriend, the first race she watched of Formula One that she knows of and really can remember is Max Verstappen taking over that Red Bull and winning in Spain. And I think it was a very similar thing in the UK when Lewis Hamilton arrived on the scene. You know, this hotshot rookie that's in a top team fighting for a championship in his first season. I remember watching that 2007 title finale, and I remember watching the 2008 title finale. And then, like I say, it was only 2009 with alongside the game that I really got into the sport. And then, of course, that was Jenson Button's season. But yeah, I've always been a supporter of British drivers. And so, therefore, with Lewis up at the front fighting with Nico Rosberg for a championship again, that was the guy that I was sort of rooting for in terms of supporting on the sidelines.
Were you wearing Mercedes AMG Petronas gear?
I think I got myself... I never had merch before that. I think I got myself a Mercedes top at that circuit. I'm pretty certain I did. And I also got a McLaren jumper because that's what Jenson drove for, and there was really, really sexy looking quarter zip that they had. So I like that.
I love that.
And,
love a good quarter zip.
Unfortunately, terrible quality. I remember it would go in the wash, and then there was like yellowy patches. It was white, so it became like yellowy patches of where the stickers up the arms kind of like weirdly morphed and moved, and then they peeled quite easily. The stickers. I'm sad that it never lasted because it was a really cool, good-looking item. But I think I've bought Mercedes gear and a McLaren hoodie or quarter zip.
And what was like, so you're going there with your dad.
Mm-hmm.
What is the sort of the vibe and the ambiance at Spa like compared to other circuits or races?
So it was hard to really get a vibe for it that season. I think, one, because that was Max's first year. So there was a bit of like Dutch ensemble going there, but I feel like it's really picked up since, especially when I went again in 2017, only 2 years later. I felt like it was different.
Or Jeremy was much smaller in 2015.
I feel like it was. Like I said, I think a lot of them got into, of course, 2015, but then there was a chance of him being in a top team. Now it's like, right, you know, the country's really celebrating and pushing it so that there was more, you know, of a takeover around those European countries. Also didn't help, as I say, we were going to a hotel, so we were staying in a city... I can't remember what the city was called. It began with an L, but it wasn't close. It was like an hour drive at least every day to and from the circuit. So it was hard to really get what the vibe is because you were just sort of in and out. First Grand Prix. I would say going there in recent years, it's a great party atmosphere now. You know, the Dutch know how to party. Let's be honest. The Dutch do know how to party. They know how to have a good time as well. So I think they definitely brought that. But I think that's also the difference between Formula One 2015 on before and 2015 onwards, because I think the Dutch have brought a bit more of a party,
yeah,
an atmospheric vibe, and also with Drive to Survive getting in maybe a younger audience that has that more, you know, party vibe. Whereas I think beforehand, it was very much, you know, quote unquote, that gentlemanly, we're very, you know, respectful of each other and we just keep ourselves to ourselves. And yeah, that's kind of how I viewed it when I first went in 2015.
Yeah, it went from like a wine and cheese party.
Yeah, I mean, when we say wine and cheese, I wasn't really getting that in the grandstand that I was in. A lot of Belgian fries, which were, you know, not going to complain. They're good.
So Lewis ended up winning that race, correct? Romain Grosjean also on the podium. Who rounded out the podium?
It would make sense. It was either Rosberg or Raikkonen if Rosberg had an issue. But I think it was Rosberg. I think it was a Mercedes one too. I know the Vettel was third and then he got a puncture on like the last lap.
Yeah, it looks...
which gave that up to Grosjean.
Yep, podium was Lewis Hamilton, Nico Rosberg, Romain Grosjean.
I'm trying to think how many races it was that I watched that Hamilton won. I think it was definitely... I think a lot of the races I went to, Hamilton had won them for quite a lot of the races. And up until, maybe 2021, then it started the Max Verstappen takeover.
So it looks like in 2015, the Lewis and Nico swapped P1 in a lot of the Grand Prix. He ended up winning the 2015 World Drivers' Championship by like 60 points. But Nico won 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It looks like 6 Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And it looks like Lewis had like 10. And then Seb won like the remaining like 3 of them that Lewis and Nico
did. Was a okay season, 2015. I remember going there as well, and Stoffel van Dorn was, I think he won GP2 that season, and he was all the rage, and he is, you know, he's Belgian. So there was a lot of home support for him and a lot of talk about him. So that was also exciting to also get into GP2 because it was something that I'd hadn't really dabbled too much into at that point in 2015, hadn't really taken too much notice of. So then to hear of, you know, this young guy that's dominating that series up and coming, that was quite exciting too.
Yeah, and that was a bad break for him because he gets into Formula One and it was during the years where McLaren was just kind of a dumpster fire and he also was teamed up with Fernando Alonso. So didn't have a good car to begin with, and then he's being compared to a 2-time world champion. So that was like, I feel like that was such a rough entry for Stoffel van Dorn. And if he had gotten into Formula One under different circumstances, he might still be there. I mean, I know he's with Aston Martin as a reserve driver, but like once you get out, it's hard to break back in, you know?
Yeah, certainly. So once you've hit the nail on the head, once you are out, once you've had that break, people have short memories in Formula One. And it's so difficult to come back in. You need a sort of backer, like Pierre Gasly had a backer with Red Bull to get himself back in after sitting out on the sidelines. And I think Nico Hülkenberg got very lucky to find his way back in after taking a few years out and being on the sidelines. I think he when he was at least brought back in by teams as a reserve, did an exceptional job to prove to them that, you know, he still got it, should be picked up by somebody else. So I think you're very right there.
Yeah. Okay. So that was your first introduction to attending an F1 race. Since then, how many Grand Prix have you attended?
So 2017 Silverstone, 2018 Spa, 2019 Budapest. Did I also go to Spa that year? No, to Silverstone that year. I think I went to Silverstone that year in 2019 as well. So hang on. Wait, I've lost track. So after that, Silverstone, Spa, Budapest, Silverstone, 2020 I went to Silverstone. No, I didn't. 2021 I went to Silverstone. 22, I don't think I went to a race. Don't think I went to a race in 22. I went to Spa in 23. And this year I've been to Silverstone and to Budapest.
And what's been your best experience attending an F1 Grand
Prix? Well, it would have to be Budapest.
Being in the steak garage?
Yeah, it would have to be that. I mean, hands down, you know, I'm very grateful to show that I was invited out to be there. Like, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Incredible, you know, to not only, I've been lucky enough to be in the paddock before with, you know, working with a company like Veloce, and then through that working with the Alfa Romeo esports team and getting the chances through all that. But to watch a race in the garage and be a lot closer to the team rather than just popping in for like 10 minutes, oh, here's the garage, have a little look, and then back out again.
Yeah.
And then out of the paddock and then go back to watching like the peasants, you know, us peasants, we usually do it in the grandstands.
But the normies and poors, yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
So for those of you listening who don't understand what we're talking about, just for context, Hayden attended the Hungarian Grand Prix this year and got to watch, was it the race from the Stake F1 team
race,
garage?
Quali, practice, all of it. All of it.
What is it like watching all of the sessions from a garage?
It's interesting because you don't have the commentary, so you don't really know what's going on in the race, but you have so much more intel for the team that you're watching. So I'd say it is a valuable experience if, one, you are a massive fan of that team and you don't care what goes on about the other stuff, or you're a big fan of the driver. Obviously, you know, I've had the luxury of being able to hang out with Joe, race the F1 game with him, and be able to hang out with him. So I'm there listening to, because I'm supporting him, you know, I'm wanting him to do the best job that he can. Unfortunately, the season that he's had this season with the car not being equal to Bottas's because of upgrades being, you know, handed to Bottas first, that's fair enough. That's what the team have decided to do. But unfortunately, then that kind of shafts Joe in his situation and doesn't give him the best opportunity to prove to everyone the skills that he has. But you still hope, and you're still hoping that it's going to go well for him. So it's always interesting to listen to the feedback, to listen to the drivers, and to... I feel like for anybody to sort of understand it is just turn off your commentary for your screen when you're watching at home. If you're watching on F1 TV, for example, because I believe you can listen to the feed of the drivers and just plug in one team because you get both drivers. Plug in that feed and just listen to that for the whole race. And that's probably the easiest way to kind of explain it. But then, of course, you get that buzz of being around a team and you get that sort of adrenaline of pit stops and stuff like that. And it's a really cool experience.
What can you see while you're in the garage? Is there the broadcast anywhere in the garage?
Yeah, so
can
you see the broadcast is dotted about in a few places. You've also got a track map that has all obviously the driver's positions. You have timers, so that will show relative to the driver's side of the garage that you're on. So I was on Joe's, so you'd have the gap to whatever driver is in front of him and whatever driver is behind him. You also have on the side of the screen information for pit stops to the right. So that will say what set is he going on to next, and the estimated sort of pit stop time that they're kind of looking at as well. So there's a lot of information. So if you're a nerd and you love Formula One, you love the information side, then it's a great place to be for you as well.
What are the rules as a guest in a Formula One team's garage, especially like during a session or during a race?
So first of all, no pictures of the garage side. You can take selfies of yourself with the branding behind, because a lot of the teams will make sure that they have sort of like a guarded area that you sort of sit, stand on, and you have your headphones in, but you're not allowed to take any pictures or videos of what is in the garage because, you know, those are secrets that each team has and how they have built their car that they don't want other teams getting their hands on. So, that's one of the main things you're not allowed to do. I mean, the rules necessarily aren't always explained to you, but I think there's some sort of common sense values of like, don't just go start wandering around the garage. Don't get in the way of the personnel that work there because, you know, they're working at the same time, but they're, you know, it is a rush. The whole team is rushed. They are, you know, Formula One is such a time-based sport and it's all about those small, small margins. So holding up an engineer could, or a pit stop crew could mean that they aren't there ready in the pit stop. So you've just got to keep yourself to yourself and just enjoy it. Be aware of all that's going on around you. Don't be sort of, you know, focused on yourself. Be focused on everything that's going on around you. Don't be on your phone too much. Enjoy the experience. And then, of course, that way as well, you're not doing anything that you shouldn't, because even if you accidentally do, which can happen, you'll be aware to somebody being like, oh, can you not do that, please? And you can be like, oh, yeah, sorry.
For sure. Okay.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
So, as we all know, we talked about this earlier. I'm going to be attending my first Formula One Grand Prix. I'm very excited. I would love to talk to you about now what I need to expect, what I should bring, what I should definitely not bring.
Yep.
Like the whole logistics of the day. I know, let's say FP1's at 6. How early should I get there? This, that, or the third. So just give me the whole rundown.
So what do you know what you've got there? Like, have you got paddock? Have you got grandstand? Have you got general admission? What is...
I'm not 100% sure, but I think paddock club.
Okay, okay. Then I was going to say, like, if you're general admission, for example, always make sure you've got a bottle with you. There's always going to be water stations at any circuits, or at least there should be. There's always a chance to fill up. Therefore, it saves you money on going to vendors in the Grand Prix area, because those vendors have a set price set by the organizers, because obviously they have to make money and everyone has to make money there. And also, therefore, vendors can't compete against each other, so they will have the same prices as each other. So therefore, everything is fair for all vendors that take part. The most amount of money that you can save, obviously, the better. Is a very expensive sport. Merch is expensive. Even if you're there, it's about the same price as if you were to get it online. Food and drink is expensive. So, you know, if you want to save money on that, you can do so. But if you are going paddock club, then you should have stuff there provided for you. Maybe even some champagne. Who knows? But definitely is going to be water, coffee, soda.
Also, probably definitely Heineken Silver.
Heineken Silver. Like, they're going to have stuff there for you, which is great. Nibbles as well. And maybe even lunch is provided, set out in certain areas. I've never been in paddock club. It's different from paddock. They're two very different things. You kind of expect them to go hand in hand because it's paddock club. But if you are invited paddock by a team, then you also have the luxury of their hospitality, and you can enjoy their food, for example. Whereas I assume if you're paddock club, then you will get food that is in the that's in that paddock club area. If you're normal paddock, then you don't get any food. You gotta fend for yourself.
Okay, so what should I bring? What should I wear? I assume I'm gonna be doing a lot of walking, so I should wear comfortable shoes.
Yes.
I shouldn't like dress super nice. I should probably dress for comfort, yeah.
It all depends on how you want to style yourself. I mean, you know, going into the paddock, for example, you just fit your own. You be you, like, at the end of the day. You be yourself. Yeah. There will be people from the paddock up and down from different sort of styles. You will have those who are in full merch, who are in the paddock as fans of the sport and have paid to be there and are loving it, you know, but they are still want to showcase that they are fans. There are other people like myself who quite, you know, like their self-image and want to always look nice, and so I went there, you know, trying to wear some of my like best outfits, not overly dressing, like, but like underdressing.
You wear like a barber wax jacket, like you're about to go shoot pheasants in the
not
English
quite,
countryside.
Not quite that. That's too far for me. That's too best dressed. I still wanted it to be casual, but I wanted it to look nice. So It depends on what sort of style you want to go for. But yeah, you know, if you are wanting to do some exploring, which I would always recommend, you know, just because you've got Paddock Club, if you can, go and go to different sections of the circuit, look at certain corners as well, watch the cars go through, because that's what Formula One is at the end of the day. Formula One is cars taking corners at incredible speeds, not necessarily bad acceleration, braking obviously incredible as well. So go and look for those corners, the big braking zones, and also the high speed corners if you can. And so therefore, shoes that you know that you can walk for quite a long distance and a long time in without being uncomfortable, would fully recommend as well. But dress for where you're going to be. If you're in the paddock, don't rock up in ripped jeans that are falling apart, not necessarily the style of ripped jeans, but ones that are, you know, falling in and got holes in, or, you know, a t-shirt that's not been washed, because people there are probably going to judge you because they've probably got a lot of money.
So the first two nights, I have some dumb clothing ideas. So the first night, I have a Formula One techie Christmas sweater.
Okay.
That I'm wearing.
It is going to be cold there.
I have thermals. Underwear.
That's good.
Because it's supposed to be like in the 30s Fahrenheit. So like close to zero Celsius.
Yeah. Would it be warm during the day though, or will that not matter?
Like 60 degrees. So I don't know what that is in Celsius, but that.
It's a big shoot up, I suppose, though, from 30 to 60 is quite a...
Yeah. But it, like, 60 is still chilly.
Okay.
It's like, you know. So I have like a tacky Christmas sweater with a turtleneck under it.
Okay.
But that's for like the FP1, FP2 night. And then FP3 and Quali, I have a Lightning McQueen bomber jacket that I bought.
Well, if you spot Liam Lawson, he'll love that. So if you do spot Liam Lawson, you'll be in luck there.
So like I wanted to like look like kind of cool but also kind of dumb. So like that's the balance.
Okay,
and then
I
think the night of the race, I'm probably going to just wear like a winter
jacket. You're going to wear a sequin jacket.
Well, here's the thing. If I was sitting in the grandstand, I think I would get my... I'm bringing my best friend Marshall, who's like my old comedy partner. If we were sitting in the grandstand, I probably would have gotten us the Dumb and Dumber tuxedos, the orange and baby blue tuxedos with the top hat. But I feel like that's too unhinged for Paddock Club. So I feel like I need to dress a little down. So I think I'm just going to wear like a button down and like a winter jacket for the race.
Yeah. Always
be
check.
A little more muted.
Always check the dress code though. Because like I said, I've not been Paddock Club before. Paddock, I feel like you can get away with it because it's very much more relaxed. I don't know if there's a dress code for Paddock Club. So always check that. Just in case.
I'll check it.
Because you don't want to get to the door. You don't want to be able to stand your ticket like you're not coming in. And then you find out, because I have heard about Vegas last year, that it can also be quite restricted for where you can go. So if you have Paddock Club, you're only allowed to be in Paddock Club and you can only go Paddock Club and not go anywhere
else. So this is just from like a global event website that sells like Paddock Club packages. No flip-flops, beach or gym wear allowed. Okay, that's fine. So if you're lucky enough to be a guest of one of the other F1 teams, under no circumstances can you wear other team kits in that suite, which makes sense. But it says the dress code is smart casual.
Oh, I hate smart casual. I hate smart casual.
Smart jeans and tailored shorts are perfectly acceptable. I feel like my tacky Christmas sweater is smart casual.
I think you'll fit the vibe. I think it'll be fine. But that's the thing. That's why I hate smart casual, because I much prefer, tell me what I need to wear. Tell me to go smart or tell me to go casual. Don't put me in between, because then I'll get lost somewhere. I'll either go too far smart or I'll go too far casual. I hate it. It gives me anxiety.
I think this is all sort of code for don't wear like an A-frame shirt. Like, don't wear like a beach tee.
Yeah.
Don't wear flip-flops. Don't show up in pajamas.
Just make sure you don't have your nipple out and you'll be fine. That's what they're trying to say. Or your toes. Yeah. Don't give the dogs away for free.
We kindly request that no tracksuits, shorts, or beach attire be worn. So there's your answer.
Well, then they're missing out. Because Formula E, I remember you wore a tracksuit Formula E. You interviewed
every
drivers,
day.
Yeah. And it was a good tracksuit. It looked good on you. So they're missing out. They're missing out on the tracksuit.
But they're also like, they're also tracksuits that are like $2,000 designer tracksuits.
Exactly.
So like, at what point is a tracksuit not allowed and not allowed?
When you can show the receipt, then it's allowed.
Okay. So let's say I'm going to the first night. I believe FP1's at like 6.
Okay.
FP2's at 10. How early should I get there if I want to get a chance to sort of walk around, get a feel for the sights, and not feel like I'm rushing to get somewhere to watch the session?
It depends on yourself, really. It depends on how late you want to leave it and how much you want to explore. I think for me, when it comes to going to a Grand Prix, so I went to Silverstone this year with my girlfriend. We had general admission, and we wanted to watch everything from F3 to F2. So Sunday, usually F3 is like the earliest. And we were like, right, we're going to get there for F3. But usually you know on a Sunday that whilst there'll be a bit of a queue at that time, it won't be horrendous because a lot of the people will be coming in later for the F1. You can use that time between like F2 and F1 as like the chance to go and explore. But that's on the last day. We've already done that the prior 2 days. So it depends on if there's anything that you want to see beforehand. Mm-hmm. And also what time does it open? Because it's different to like a Silverstone, whereas, you know, it opens, and the races that I've been that will open gates from like, I think Spa when I went in 23 was 6 a.m. or something like that. We had to line up at the door ready to sprint to the other end to try and get my chair in a good place. And there was me throughout the day just digging into the dirt to get the back seats of my chair in. But with Vegas, I don't know what time the venue opens. So it depends on how much time you want to give yourself from when it opens to when FP1 starts, or whether you're just like, you know what, the first day is a bit chill. I'm going to rock up for FP1. We're going to watch FP1, and then we're going to explore between FP1 and 2, and then we'll come back for FP2 and we'll watch again. So depends on yourself on what you want to do. If you are just doing that for FP1, I mean, an hour early on the first day just to definitely make sure that you're going to get in for FP1, because being an evening race, a lot more people could be rocking up for that FP1 time as well, and it could be bigger queues. So an hour early for sure, just to make sure you get yourself in. But it's about figuring things out over the weekend, because, you know, it is an unknown. I haven't been to that venue, so I can't say what that one's like compared to the other ones that I've been to. Some are easy to get into, some are really, really difficult. But give yourself enough time to make sure. And then if you're like, oh, that was actually really easy to get through, they're great at getting people through the gates very, very quickly. Cool, we can go a little bit later next time. Or you're like, oh my God, that was horrendous. There was only one gate for 200,000 people to get through. We need to go earlier next time. So it's at least a good thing that you just have FP1 and FP2, that if you miss out a few minutes of the running on that day, you still have over the rest of the weekend. The Saturday you have FP3, you have, of course, the qualifying and the main event on Sunday to figure out what it's like to get into circuit and how quickly that's going to be for yourself.
Yeah, okay, good to know. Is there anything I should absolutely not bring? Like, what are like some common like mistakes that people, they show up to the gate and they're like, oh, I can't bring XYZ in? Like, I had no idea.
I don't think I've ever, the only thing I've ever experienced, which is a bit of a weird one, flagpoles. I remember I went in 2017, went with a big group of friends. There were a lot of content creators that were from the gaming space. The first time we'd ever sort of got together and met up. One of them brought a big flag, like a Lewis Hamilton flag on a flagpole. And at the gate was like, you can't bring that in. You can't bring the flagpole in. So I had to take the flag off the flagpole. So if you're thinking of bringing a big flag, probably won't be allowed the flagpole in.
I had a whole suitcase just full of flagpoles.
Well,
I guess
sorry, you're gonna get
there.
Stopped, and you're gonna have to leave that. other than that, obviously you've got the obvious weapons. Don't bring weapons in. Don't bring stuff that you would just get confiscated at any sporting venue, really. But
if I have a nice camera that I might want to bring to take photos, can I bring that or no?
Yeah, you can bring cameras. I've at least all the circuits I've been to before, cameras are fine. Paddock Club, I would double check though, because I know that sometimes when you get a paddock, you need a accreditation. but at least in terms of like grandstands, etc., completely fine. And I'd imagine it would be completely fine in Paddock Club as well, because you aren't a photographer that's going there to make money. You are that going there just to take pictures for memories. I'd imagine it would be absolutely completely fine. But because you're at Paddock Club, double check. But for anybody else listening that's going as normal grandstand or general admission, cameras are completely fine.
Okay, good to know. Good to know.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
When you're actually watching the session live, I imagine you have so much less information than you do when you're watching it on TV or watching it on F1 Multiviewer. Are there any apps that you use on your phone to be able to follow along what's happening?
So you've got the big screens around. They're not always the easiest to read. I believe they have manipulated the screen to make the top 10 standings, or I don't know if they show the full 20, but definitely the top 10. A lot bigger, so it's easier to see.
Yeah,
you can see the footage. Always
for instance,
try and,
when I
was gonna say always try and sorry, position yourself so that you can see a big screen, because obviously that's helpful.
Okay,
it goes so quickly, the race goes so quickly when you're there in real life. It's crazy that you're like, oh my god, that's it already, or we're already on this lap. F1 TV, I believe, or F1 has live timings. Definitely good to have that on your phone. They usually sell them at all circuits, but little earpieces that you can hear the track side commentary. I've never actually used one because I'm usually there with other people, and I feel like it's rude if I have that in when I'd rather just talk to someone. But if you're someone who wants to, if you're going alone or you just want to make sure you have that in your ear and you don't mind, then it's a good way to have commentary throughout the race. But there's definitely less information for sure, but it's more just taking in the atmosphere and being able to see these cars in person.
Okay, good to know. Because I know when I attended Formula E Pre, and when I went to the IndyCar Long Beach Grand Prix, I downloaded like the Formula E app and or the IndyCar app, and I had like the live timings in front of me while I was watching, and that was very helpful.
Yeah, I think when we went to Silverstone, we were watching definitely F3 and F2 on my phone, watching it on Now TV because I've got a subscription. So we're watching it on that because my girlfriend does the socials for the Red Bull junior teams. So was having to make sure that she follows what's going on in F3 and F2 for their drivers in that series. So that was decent. But again, it depends on your internet connection. There's a lot of people there at this venue. Internet can struggle sometimes, so if you do lose internet, then that's going to be a bit of an issue. But it's a good way to still get that information, but also make sure you take the time to enjoy being there rather than being engrossed in your phone and watching it like you would be at home.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's talk race day. Let's talk usually it's Sunday, but in this case Saturday.
Yeah.
How early should I try to get there? Because you have the driver's parade.
Yep, driver's parade.
Well, what are the other sort of activities that happen on the day of the Grand Prix?
I mean, you might have driver interviews on the stage as well. You'll definitely have them after, or you potentially have them after. Sometimes they don't always happen after, but maybe on the day as well. But generally, just as early as you want to get there, really. There's no right or wrong time. And it's all different track dependent, or country or Grand Prix dependent. So with it being an evening race, I guess it's easier to get there earlier. And I'd say there's nothing wrong with getting there too early, because there's so much to do in the fan zone. If you're like, okay, we've actually got through it really quickly. We've got now 4 hours till the race. What do we go and do? Oh, let's go check out the fan zone. Let's see what's going on there. Oh, we've got these two drivers are on stage in half an hour. Let's go. Make sure you get the program. Make sure you check out the F1 TV there. That the guys on F1 TV do a great job to keep people entertained at the circuit. And you will be able to see the whole schedule on there for what's going on the stage as well. So make sure you keep up to date with that. And you'll be able to pass that time quite quickly. It's always better in these events to be there early than to be there late, because if you end up being late with everybody else who's being late, you're then all stuck trying to get in as quickly as possible. You're going to be agitated that you're potentially missing out on the start, and the start in some races can be the only action that happens in the race, so you don't want to be there missing like the only action in that race because you left it too late. So I'd always say earlier is better.
Right. Good to know. It looks like the gates open every day, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 4:30 p.m. local time. So that's an hour and a half, 2 hours before the sessions start. FP1's at 6:30. FP3 the next day is at 6:30. So yeah,
any other support series going on over that weekend? Do you know of? Is there any other?
I don't believe so. I think they're. I know F1 Academy just announced
for next year
having a race in Vegas next year, but I think they have a tough time having too many support races because I think they have a small window in which they can actually close the streets down.
Yes, yeah, I believe so. I believe they have to open up like as soon as possible, which was why we had the issues last year, if you remember, with FP2 being cancelled, wasn't it? Because of Or no, it was.
Well, they had it. They kicked all the fans out.
Yeah, they had to get the fans out at a certain time. It was because it was delayed because of the manhole cover coming loose. So hopefully, we avoid all that situation, and you're not kicked out of the venue.
Fingers crossed.
Early, but So if there's no support races, then I suppose there's nothing else to really view on track. If there's not too much else going on. But there's always loads of other activities to be going on. And it's Vegas. I'm sure they're going to be really playing into that and putting on a lot for fans who are there.
And I know there's like a ton of activations going on throughout the course of the weekend. There is a lot to see and a lot to do. And I think my biggest problem is like I don't know what I want to prioritize.
Yeah.
And a bunch of creators have posted about fan activations, but Michaela, formerly of She Loves F1, now she's at She Loves Vrooms, posted a really good checklist of like the different activations. There's Mercedes activation at Aria that has like racing sims, virtual reality, merch, photo ops. There's the Haas show car at Cosmopolitan, Williams Racing Fan Zone at New York. Alpine has an activation at the Venetian. There is Aston Martin has something at the Fontainebleau. Shoey Bar at the Bellagio. You go have a proper shoey. So like there's a bunch of different fan activations to attend. I'm actually going to try to go to the Four Seasons to see, I don't know if you know who Darren Jack is. He's the head of the Hall of Fame collection.
No.
It's a collection that sells like Formula One memorabilia,
okay.
Based out of Canada. He has like he curated an exhibit of like old cars and helmets and race suits at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to go check that out. But yeah, I'm really, really excited.
Yeah, no, you'll find that there is weirdly a lot of time to do these things and to fit them all in all fairness. Yeah. When it comes to sims, once you've raced on one sim, they're all the same. So don't waste your time on sims. And maybe that's because I spend my whole life on sims. So maybe I'm sort of more immune to them, but they are all the same. Once you do one of them, you've done them all. So it's fine.
Okay,
you don't have to jump in.
Good to know.
And unless you are amazing on them, you are not going to beat the top time to get yourself that prize. In all fairness, you're better off just staying at one if you are really wanting to do that, and then getting better on that one sim every single time. But realistically, don't waste your time. There's so much more to do there.
All right. Good to know.
So yeah, all the sims are the same. But yeah, you'll find there's lots of different activations. There's lots of cool things to do, and try and just fit in as much stuff as possible. As you say, this is your first Grand Prix experience. So enjoy it and just try and maximize it as much as possible. In terms of what to expect, just all I can really say is just, yeah, enjoy it. Have the best time you can there and just take in every single experience. Speak to who you want to go and speak to. Go and hunt down the driver that you want to go and hunt down. Like, just try and fit as much stuff in as possible.
I don't want to take a photo with any drivers. I want to leave them alone while they're at the
same. Are you also a person that doesn't like taking photos with celebrities? Because I'm the same. I'd much rather have a conversation with that person than just run up and go, can I have a picture and then run away? Which is no offense to anybody who does that. It's just, I would, because I've had people come up to me before as well. And I much value when people come up to me and have a chat with me, because I'm always open to have a chat with somebody. But if somebody just says, can I have a picture, then goes, it's like, oh, okay, bye then.
So I don't know what to expect in regards to my reactions of seeing like drivers and team principals, because I worked in production for 10 years. So I used to work on the sets of TV shows and movies where I was like around a lot of famous actors and celebrities. So it takes a lot to impress me or get me excited. and I think also spending so much of my adult life in a profession where you are taught to give people space and respect them. Like I never asked for pictures. There were a few exceptions when I worked in TV, but general rule, I don't like to bother people or ask for pictures or autographs.
Yeah.
So I don't know, given how I, you know, have been a Formula One fan for the last 2 years and I've become like obsessed with it. I don't know whether like I'm going to be cool if I see a driver, or if I'm going to be like,
I think you'll be chill and I think you'll be cool. And I think if you get a chance to chat to somebody, chat to them. And then if you do want pictures with people, then after that, I think it's fine to be like, oh, do you mind if we have a picture? And they'd be like, no, no problem. I went to Goodwood Festival of Speed a couple of years ago, and Sebastian Vettel was there. And my girlfriend's a massive fan of Sebastian Vettel. And she was like, you have to get a picture of him because, you know, that's my two favorite guys together in one picture. That'll be my favorite picture. And I'm not comfortable just going up to people and asking for a picture. And I sort of spotted him. I was in the McLaren area because a content creator called Matt Amos got me in there. So we were just chilling and expected the cars. He was chatting off to somebody else. And then someone else went up to him and just literally asked for a picture and then walked away. And Seb's face was sort of like, yeah, sure. Smile for the picture. And then just like, okay, all right, cheers, mate. And then just like, because it wasn't like a meaningful interaction to that person. It's just that they deal with that all the time. And once I saw that, it was like, okay, I'm not doing that.
I'd rather just have a conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think you get more out of that. I don't necessarily need to, which is weird for someone on social media, but I don't feel like I need to show off, oh, I've got a picture of this person, I've got a picture, which again, I'm not attacking anybody who does that. It's just how I personally feel. I would much rather have that memory for myself. It's also the same reason why I do find doing social media so difficult, because I don't like filming everything. Because I much rather want to just sort of see it with my own eyes, if that makes sense, rather than trying to like look at my phone screen and making sure I film what I'm trying to see.
That's something that I'm trying to wrap my head around attending the Grand Prix, because I want to like make some content that'd be cool to share, and I want to like take pictures of my time at the race and maybe come up with some bits here and there, but I ultimately just want to enjoy myself.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the right balance is, because I think being a content creator, you're always being like, okay, how can I capitalize on being in this space that I usually don't have access to, around people that I usually don't have access to, but also be respectful that I'm a guest in this space at the same time.
I think if you have ideas going into it, then try and get like a shot list, for example, of certain things. Therefore, you just have in your head, I need to get this, 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 instead of just always being like more spontaneous recording for content where you're just filming everything. And then at the end of your trip, you will cut it down into what you actually want. Have an idea what you want before, and then you can have that video sorted rather than filming everything. And if there are certain moments that you are, you know, I got to see Lewis win in Silverstone and him climb the fence with the gold trophy. That was a moment that I was like, this is going to look really cool on social. So I kind of had to get this. So I'm just holding my phone up above my head, not looking at my phone, hoping it's pointing in the right direction, and then just watching it. There or thereabouts for most of it. There was one part where someone put a flag in the way for a bit, and it was only once I looked up that I realized that was blocked. So I was like, okay, let's move it back over here. But you know, for at least short content, you're using about 4 seconds of that clip usually. So you can sort of move about it. So if you do want to capture anything, you can kind of do it in a way that you can just sort of capture it to the side and not be looking at your phone, I suppose, and still enjoying that you got to be there and live it.
I think I want to try to find a lot of opportunities in Vegas and at some of the activations to maybe make some short content. And I think anything that I capture at the race, I think just want to be like sort of like B-roll, like atmosphere. I don't want to get in anybody's way.
So you could potentially get a lot of that on day one, really. You know, FP1, FP2 day, you can get a lot of that stuff on the first day and then still have the 2 days to enjoy it.
That's fair. Cool.
Well, I am very, very excited for you. When do you head out?
Thank you, bud. On Thursday. So I fly Thursday morning from Los Angeles to Vegas. It's a quick flight. It's an hour-long flight.
Oh, nice. It's like...
And I'll be there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and then I fly to Florida from Las Vegas on Sunday to go visit my in-laws for Thanksgiving.
Nice. Yeah. Thanksgiving weekend as well. So very, very busy. Busy weekend for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
Thanksgiving's the weekend after.
Okay,
the
so you're Thursday just, doing, after, it, you're just doing it earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, nice, nice. We're still a busy weekend. I'm, like I say, I'm very, very excited for you. I cannot wait. And next week's podcast, we're going to be hearing all about it. And I want to hear every experience, every, you know, awkward story that you accidentally, you know, went to the toilet and then you saw a driver there and he shook your hand and you hadn't actually washed your hands yet. I want to hear those stories. And maybe we do a podcast in the future as well. That's like other people's stories from like Grand Prix weekends, because we're going to have a lot to fill over the winter period. But yeah, I look forward to hearing all about it. We are now going to film another podcast, which is going to be our talk about Las Vegas. You can hear that. That's going to be coming out later on in the week. So if you want to hear that podcast about me and James talking about Las Vegas, news of Formula One and everything that's happening this week, then make sure you follow us on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to right now. Follow the WTF1 social channels for all the latest gossip and news around the world of Formula One, and make sure you check out myself. But most importantly, go check out James's social channels, because you'll be able to see all of his trip to Las Vegas and you can kind of live it with him as well. Until then, though, have a good rest of your day, evening, wherever you are. We'll see you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans: a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.